I don't want to run right off, but I want it to be like a slow rain that soaks in. And sometimes we just want just give me enough, make me feel good, so I can run on out of here and live my life. Well, it's good to feel good. I like to feel good. Amen. How about you folks? Amen. It is good to feel good. But I'm here to tell you, yes, the Word of God will make us feel good, but it don't always make us feel good. Sometimes the Word of God will step on our toes, won't it?
Amen.
The Bible says, God says, that he chastises those he loves.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad he loved me.
Yes.
How about y'all?
Yes.
Yeah. He says that he chastises those that he loves. Now, when he say he chastised those that he loved, he's not throwing sickness and disease on you or going to make you get in an automobile accident and you know, have to move around in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. No. 1,000 times no. That's not God's chastisement. Amen. God corrects us. Amen. God corrects us. God deals with us about things in our lives so that we can make adjustments according to his word. That's because he loves us.
Amen.
It's because he loves us. And I'm glad he loves me. And it don't always feel good when he chastises me, but it's always good for me. You hear me? It don't always feel good when I'm chastised, but it's always good for me. It always makes me a better person. It makes me a better Christian. It makes me a better man. It makes me a better husband. Make me a better father. Make me a better pastor. Hallelujah. I always want God's attention, and I always want to be sensitive to his correction. Amen. How about y'all? Y'all feel the same way? Amen. Amen. Praise God. So thank God for his word. And so the Lord has been dealing with me about what I've been ministering on for the past few weeks. Get close to God and stay close to God. And the day and time we're living in right now, it's absolutely necessary that you get close to God and that you stay close to God. And we see in James chapter 4, I've read this many times, and I'll read it again tonight in James chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. It says, therefore submit to God. This is New King James Version. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. By the way, you know, if you don't resist him, he's not going anywhere. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. And if you don't resist him, he's not going anywhere. He's going to hang around. He's just going to hang around and needle you and aggravate you and just try to ruin your life. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now let me say just a little something else about that, since we are on this subject. I'm going to verse 8, but I wanted to read verse 7 as well. So I want to read it again. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice what this does not say. It does not say, therefore submit to God, and God will resist the devil for you, and he'll flee. It does not say submit to God and then God will smack the devil side the head and he'll flee. No, it says submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The inferred word there is you. Submit to God, you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You resist the devil. And too many times we're wondering, why won't God do something about this? Why won't God do something? Why won't? Well, God hadn't done anything about it because you hadn't done anything about it. Amen. What too many of God's people don't understand is that the Lord Jesus Christ thoroughly defeated the devil, didn't he? Amen. Amen. He is a defeated foe. Jesus defeated him. And then he transferred the authority over to you and me. How are we going to operate in this world as believers if we have no authority? Jesus said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. And he also said, I am with you even unto the end of the world, the end of the age. He says, I am with you. When Jesus said, go ye into all the world, preaching the gospel, casting out devils, raising the dead, and all that he told us to do, don't you know that we have to have some authority to do that? And that authority came from the words of Jesus when he said, go. And what he was saying is, when you go in my name, in the name of Jesus, not in our own name. Our name has no power. Our name has no authority. But we are told to go in the name of Jesus. We are told to resist the devil. How? You resist him in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Somebody must have needed to hear that tonight. Praise God. Therefore, verse 7 again, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That means then through Christ Jesus, you have more power than he does. Hallelujah. I've heard too many testimonies over the years, and I've been born again a long time. Folk testifying how the devil beat them up. I've been some places you heard more about what the devil was doing than you did what God was doing. The devil was getting more credit than God. When our responsibility is to resist him, get him on out the way and move on. Amen. All right. Well, I need to keep going, don't I? So, again, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But then listen what it says in verse 8. And we've been here, but I want to read it again. It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And then it tells us to do something. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Oh, by the way, this is talking to Christians. You do know Christians can sin. That's the reason 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah, we as Christians, we can mess up. We can sin. But our goal should be to miss it less every day by growing in Christ Jesus, by growing in the Word of God. Amen. So it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You double-minded. Amen. You know, and we talked about this, and I'm not going to preach that. But you can go back or you can listen to some of the messages in times past. But the point I want to make to you tonight, and I've said it many times before, it is time for God's people to get serious about their walk with the Lord, get close to God, and stay there. Amen. Praise God. And I talked to you last week. I want you to go back there again. I'm trying not to be here very long because I want to move on to some other stuff, but go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I began talking to you last week about when we walk close to God, when we are walking with God. And when I say walking close to God, what I mean by that is you spend time in His Word. Okay? You spend time in His Word. You spend time in prayer. You spend time in prayer. You spend time with Him. Amen? Amen. You spend time blessing His name. Amen. You just spend time with God. Yes, you can still do your job. You can work on your job and you can be excellent at your job and still walk close to the Lord. Amen. You hear me? Matter of fact, I believe that the closer to God you get, the better worker you'll be. Amen. Hallelujah. When you walk close to God, when they're laying some of the other ones off, they might overlook you. Amen. I've had it happen to me years ago. They let some folks go. And my supervisor called me to the side. She told me, she says, you know, I've watched you. She said, you're very conscientious about your work. I like the job you do. So I'm going to keep you here. Not only did she keep me, she gave me a promotion. Amen. Well, I know what some folks think. Yeah, Pastor, I love God too. I've been serving God a lot of years and I lost my job. Don't sweat it. Jesus hadn't fallen off the throne. Hallelujah. He's still your answer. You continue to walk with Him. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So it is important that we walk close to Him. Amen. And so it brings, when we walk close to God and spend time with Him, it brings stability to our lives. It brings stability to our lives. Believers need to be stable, not flaky. We don't need to be, like I heard it said, we don't need to be like, what is it, granola? Granola cereal, fruits, nuts, and flakes. We're not to be that way. We're to be stable, solid in God. Amen. Glory to God. But the Word of God gives us a warning in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we read this last week. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, and I believe that's the time we're living in right now, that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Amen. We got to make sure that don't happen to us. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. This, brothers and sisters, this is not the time to fall away. This is not the time to walk away from Jesus and look for something else. Believe me, He is still the answer. He is still the answer. He is still the answer. Matter of fact, Jesus Himself had something to say about that. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Glory to God. Matthew 24. I'll just begin reading at verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone will be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Verse 3, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed, listen to this, take heed that no one deceives you. See, you have to understand, the devil is a master at deception. He's a master at deception. So he says, take heed that no one deceives you. Verse 5, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And he goes on to teach them some other things, and we won't go there tonight anyway. But one of the things Jesus said is, take heed that no one deceives you. And especially in the days that we are living in now. Adam and Eve had a perfect world. God created a perfect world for them. They had everything they needed. They lacked nothing. Their bodies were perfect. There was no sickness, no disease, no heartbreak. Everything they needed, God had provided for them. Yet through demonic deception, they lost it all. Listen to me. Listen to me. The devil could not take it from Adam and Eve. But his master weapon was deception. If I can fool them, if I can cause them to question God, and I'm sure many of you listening on the live stream, and those of you that are in the sanctuary, if you've been saved any length of time, there probably have been someone that questioned your faith, that questioned your trust in God, that questioned the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Because many of them claim to have other answers. And a lot of times, listen to me good. A lot of times these things happen, not in Adam and Eve's case, but sometime in our case, these things happen when we are going through a trial, when we're going through a tough time, when we are vulnerable. That's when the devil, the enemy, will step in and attempt to deceive us. But let me tell you something. We got to be strong all the time. No matter what's happening, you may not have a 2 cents rubbed together. Your body may be aching. I don't care what the situation is. You've got to stay strong and you got to stay committed to God. We cannot be fair weather believers. In other words, we believe God when everything's going good. But when things are not going so well, or when things didn't go the way that we thought they would have gone, or we thought that they should have gone, now we are upset and we open the door for deception. Somebody walk into your life and say, I just want to tell you, man, I don't know why, or lady, I don't know why you're crying. I don't know why you're so upset. I tell you what, things are going well with me. So I don't know why you trusting in this Jesus you can't see. No, you don't want to fall for that. Please don't fall for that. But the Bible plainly tells us that in the latter days, some will depart from the faith. And there'll be different reasons they depart. Some will be through deception. Some will be through lust for other things. Sometimes it's even money. Let me tell you something. Jesus is Lord, not money. Hallelujah. Thank God for money. Thank God for our needs being met. Praise God. Thank God for that. But we are warned in the Bible not to trust in uncertain riches. And they are just that, uncertain. Hallelujah. Earthly riches are perishable. Don't get me wrong. God has promised to meet our needs, didn't he? Yes. He promised us he'd provide for us. But he told us to seek first what? The kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added. God must always be number one. Let me say that again. God must always be number one. Don't you ever put God on the back burner and say, Lord, soon as I make enough money, I'm going to come back and we're going to have a relationship again. But I have this opportunity that I want to go after. You better not go after any opportunity without God. And you may get rich. You may get filthy rich. If there's any such thing. Sounds bad, really. But I can tell you, you will not be happy. Amen. You can have all the money that you ever need, but without Jesus Christ, you'll never be happy. You'll never have true peace. Amen. But he says, seek first my kingdom and its righteousness. He says, I'll give you what you need. I'll make sure you're taken care of. Didn't we just read that in Psalm 37 a while ago from the Passion Translation? Even when there is disaster, God said, I'm going to take care of you. Hallelujah. praise the name. Isn't that good to know? But he says, seek me first. Seek me first. Praise God. Hallelujah. Y'all still out there? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. Man, I tell you what, I could preach a whole nother sermon in the fifth chapter of Peter, but First Peter, but I won't. I'll pick it up at verse 6. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Oh, grab hold of that, folks. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, make sure you stay close to God. Make sure God is number one. Make sure God is number one. God is your priority. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and it says he will do what? Exalt you in due time. In due time. In due time. Sometimes we want to be exalted. We want to be elevated in some areas, and we're not even ready. We're not even ready. That's the reason the Bible says that a novice, which is a new believer, is not to pastor a church. Because they're not ready. They're not spiritually ready. They're not spiritually ready. They hurt somebody, including themselves. But I'm so glad that God will exalt us in due time. God, excuse me, God will give that promotion or cause that promotion in due time. Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes that there's a time for everything. Amen. So let me read on. Y'all still here? Glory to God. Verse 7, listen. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Y'all believe that? Yeah. Hallelujah. Cast all your cares on him. I don't care. You, by the way, you can talk to God about anything and everything. Let me say that again. You can talk to God about anything and about everything. Yeah. Amen. There's some things we need to be talking to God about instead of one another. Because there have been too many times that a prayer meeting has turned into a gossip session. Oh, please pray with me about this. And then you begin to talk about what you don't like about an individual. And then the person's supposed to be praying with you saying, you know what? I feel the same way. I don't like them either. I just can't stand that dress you wear to church. No, it turns into a gossip session. No. We need to talk to God. Now, there are times when you have people that you pray with, amen, and it's genuine prayer, but not gossip, but I got to move on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Be sober, be vigilant. Listen to this. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, say he's my adversary. He's not my friend. All right. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He want to eat us up. But notice what it says, whom he may devour, which tells us that there are some he may devour, but there are others he won't. Here, listen at this. Verse 9. Resist him steadfast, how? In the faith. Again, you resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And I could read on, but I think I've been going pretty good while, so I'm going to cut this off. But I want you to know that Satan walks around as a roaring lion. It doesn't say he is a roaring lion. It says he walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the ones that he may devour are the ones that have walked away from God, the ones that have gotten slack, the ones that are seeking after other things, lusting after other things, rather than drawing close to God. Amen. Verse 91 says, he that, kind of lost it there for a moment. Psalm 91:1, somebody get me started. Yeah, okay, thank you, sis. God bless you. May you get an extra blessing. He that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So I know you're hearing a lot of this, but it's for a reason. I want you to get it in your spirit, and I don't want you to let it slip. Stay close to God. Amen? Stay close to God. Continually seeking his face. Continue to walk with him. And by the way, as I close this out, as we walk with him and fellowship with him, he will speak some things into your life. He'll answer some questions that you had. He will give direction to your life. He will bring hope where there was no hope, peace where there was no peace. God will do that simply because we make the decision, I'm going to walk with God and I'm going to walk close with God. Don't care what they do in the world. Don't care what my fellow Christians do, if they decide to walk away from God, if they decide to get carnal or whatever, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to follow them. I'm going to follow God. Remember what, and I'm close with this. Remember what the Apostle Paul said? He says, follow me as I follow the Lord, as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow him. What the Apostle Paul was saying, if I deviate, don't you deviate. If I move over, don't you move over. You follow me as long as I'm following Christ. But whatever you do, follow Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And I pray, Father, that everyone under the sound of my voice will either develop a love for you